for a great family, and for the generosity of this church, the love of this church, for the short time that I've been able to be a part of it, it's y'all's love is very evident. So I want to thank you for that. As we close out tonight, I've got a question for you. How many of us, now don't raise your hand, how many of us have ever had a bad day? Now, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, I would guess that all of us would raise our hands. We've all had a bad day. I mean, think about it. Maybe you've woken up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe things weren't going your way. You were late for work. Your kids were just dragging their feet all day. You just had a bad day. You know, that's kind of a silly illustration, a silly example, but maybe think of something more serious. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe your car wasn't starting and it was the third time that week. Maybe, unfortunately, you lost a loved one. You know, we've all had a bad day. We've all had those days where we just think, God, why? Tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Job, an Old Testament book that probably many of us are familiar with. Job chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And as we think of the story of Job, this is a guy who really just had the worst day you could think of. You know, we've had bad days. Things just haven't gone our way. But when you think of the story of Job, I mean, the only thing you can do is think, wow, how was he able to survive? How was he able to get up the next morning and keep going on? Tonight, as we look at Job chapter 1, we're going to be looking at this idea that God wants us as Christians to put him first and to keep him first in our lives, no matter the circumstances that we face. Let me say that again. God wants us as Christians to put him first and to keep him first in our lives, no matter the circumstances that we face. If you're in Job chapter 1, look with me, please, in verse 1, and we'll read the first couple verses. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. We're in verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Looking at this idea of how God wants us to keep him, to put him first in our lives, no matter the circumstances we face. And we're just introduced to Job here. This is the first time we're introduced to Job. And we see immediately that this is a man who was perfect and upright. Now that word perfect doesn't mean he was sinless, but he was mature in his walk with God. This is a man that we would look at as fellow Christians. We would think, man, that's a guy that I want to model my life after. That's a guy who really, from my perspective, from man's perspective, he had it all. I mean, the verse said that he was the greatest of all the men in the East. It described to us the great wealth that this man had. I mean, from the world's perspective, he had it all. 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had great wealth. He had great riches. He had the title. He was known for his testimony. Yet Job was going to face a great trial. Job was going to face a time of hardship. And as we continue through the passage, you look in verses 6 through 12. We're not going to read them for sake of time. But we see that this conversation that goes on between Satan and God. Satan comes before God and he's telling him what he's been doing. I've been going to and fro from the earth, looking for those to tempt, looking for those to cause to stumble. And as he's telling God this, God, of course, says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? And of course, Satan, if you're familiar with the story, Satan replies, God, Job is not that great of a guy. God, Job is not that great of a Christian. Job's really not that dedicated to you. He really is not that much in love with you, God. I mean, you've put this hedge about him. You've given him these great riches. You've caused everything for him to abound, to be plenteous. God, you take away those things, and I promise you, he'll curse you. You know, as I was preparing for this message and reading through this familiar passage, I had to kind of put myself in that position. You know, it's always good to put yourself in the position of certain characters in the Bibles and to think, if everything today were taken away from me, not that I'm a man of great wealth, but if everything were taken away from me today, my family were somehow taken away from me, if my position were taken away, if I was kicked out of school, whatever, you name it, if all those things were taken away from me, the next morning, would I wake up and continue to serve God? The next morning, would I wake up and open His Word to see what He had for me? You know, we like to think the best of ourselves. We like to think, of course I would. No matter what hardship I would face, no matter what trial I would face, of course I would get up, read my Bible, and continue on in the Christian walk. But it's something that I can't answer for you. And really, we can't answer probably definitively at this point because we haven't gone through anything like that. But it's something to ponder. Let's continue through the passage. We're reading verse 13 of some of the afflictions that Job would go through. You see, Satan had this conference, this conversation with God, and God's given him permission to do with Job as he would please. But he says not to take his life, not to deal with him personally, not to deal with him physically, not to take his life. We're reading verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the earth, the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, I mentioned at the beginning how many of us have had a bad day, and probably something came up to your mind. Maybe today was a bad day for you. Maybe you've had a bad week, maybe a bad month, maybe a bad year. You know, as we approach the new year, maybe that's kind of a relief for many of us. Maybe we're like, whoa, finally, it's 2018. 2017 was a year of hardship. 2017 was no fun. You know, 2017 just really did nothing for me but bad things. And we're looking forward to the new year. But consider the afflictions and the trials that Job is going through here. See, it wasn't just one thing. He says in the first couple verses, his servant comes to him and says, look, your servants have been killed. We see in other verses, hey, your oxen, your sheep, your asses, they've all been taken. We see in the following verses, your camels, they've been taken. Your servants have been killed. And then he finishes with, hey, Job. One of his servants says to him, hey, Job, you know, your kids were together. They were feasting like they always did. This is nothing out of the ordinary for them. We read that in the first couple verses. They were feasting, Job. And this great wind came, and the four corners of the house fell in. And Job, I'm the only one that survived. Can you imagine with me the pain and the suffering that Job was feeling at this point? There was a common thread in these verses, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You see, ignorance might have been better for Job in this instance, not knowing what had happened. Maybe finding out later on, but it was one thing after the next. Trial after trial came. And you know, many times in our Christian life, we can have that bad day. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in our spiritual walk. Maybe we lose a battle and we suffer in our Christian walk and we feel down about it. And the next thing just keeps kicking us while we're down on the ground. And no matter how hard we try, we can't get up. But can I tell you this tonight? That God is good. Can I tell you this tonight? That no matter what trial you may face, no matter what hardship you've gone through, God is there for you? Can I tell you that God loves you? And you know, we hear that and we say, Ryan, of course, I know that. But do you remember in the times when you struggle? You know, we read of the afflictions of Job, and you know, if that were the end of the story, that'd be kind of a sad book in the Bible. Probably a book that we'd skip over. Probably a book like, I don't want to read that. It's just hardship. Nothing, you know, Job probably just cursed God and went on his own way. But the last three verses are encouraging to me. Let's read them. Verse 20. After all that he's endured, after this affliction, after these trials, we read in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, and all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. God wants us as Christians to keep him first in our lives, no matter the circumstances we face. As I was listening to some of the testimonies earlier, there was a lot of, I'm thankful for salvation, I'm thankful for the things that God's given me. But there were also a lot of, you know, this has been a tough year, but I'm thankful that God's still been there for me. Job had to make a tough decision here. He lost his wealth. He lost a lot of his servants. But most importantly, he lost his family. You know, you may not have the best relationship with your family. You may fight a lot. But at the end of the day, probably the thing that you treasure the most is your family. Maybe that sibling that you always fight with, you treasure them the most above anything else that you could ever have. And Job lost his family. He had his wife, but he lost his children. Those who he was instructing, those who he prayed for, those who he offered burnt offerings for at the beginning of the chapter, those that he cared for were gone. But can I tell you, the best part about this chapter, my most favorite part about this chapter can be found in verses 6 through 12. Verses 6 through 12. We didn't read them earlier. But Job, he's described us as this perfect and upright man. We read in verses 13 through 19 that he goes through all these troubles and afflictions. We read at the end that he doesn't respond in a bad way. He doesn't sin. He doesn't charge God foolishly. He continues to worship him. But the most encouraging part about this whole chapter can be found in verses 6 through 12. And it's this, church. Satan didn't just make this decision without telling God. Satan didn't have the power to make this decision. You see, he came before God and he asked him. He came before God and he had to get permission from God to be able to persecute Job. He had to come before him and to ask for God's permission to be able to do this. He didn't just say, God, I'm going to do this no matter what. God had to give his permission. And can I tell you this, church, tonight? God wants you to keep him and to put him first in your lives no matter the circumstances you face, because listen to this. God is in control. God is in control. There are things in our life that we cannot control. We can't necessarily look ahead 2 years and see that we're going to lose our job. We can't see that we're going to lose a loved one. But can I encourage you with this tonight? No matter what trial you face, no matter what affliction you might endure, how tough it may be, especially at this time of year when it's a time to reflect on all that God's given us and it's a time to celebrate with family, no matter how tough the time may be, God wants you to put him first in your life. But not just that, he wants you to keep him first in your life. Now you may be saying, Ryan, God's a part of my life. I have some time with God. I make time for God. I do things for God. I'm involved in church. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Is God top priority? Is God first in your life? If you were to lose those things, just like Job did, if you were to lose your job, if you were to lose a family member, would you be able to get up the next morning and continue on? Because your true treasure wasn't found in the things of the world. It was found in God. God wants to be first in your life, and he wants you to keep him first in your life. But can I tell you this tonight? No matter how much preaching you hear, no matter how faithful you are to church, our preaching tonight can't make you keep him first. Pastor Corey's preaching can't make you keep him first. No matter how many times you attend church, can't make you keep him first. It's a personal decision. And you know, and you can play church, and I may say, wow, you've got a great walk, or that person really puts God first in all that they do. But can I tell you, only you and God know. As we approach the new year, you know, a lot of people like to make a lot of resolutions. They like to change a lot of things about themselves, but can I encourage you, if you haven't thought of anything to change this year, can I encourage you to work on your walk with Christ, to put him first? Not just put him first for January and February, but next year, this time, to be able to say, God was first in my life this year, and he's still first. No matter the trials that you faced, can I tell you, I'm a senior in college now, and in the past year, I've had 5 friends my age or younger, so between 19 and 21, who've lost their fathers. It wasn't expected. Their fathers weren't necessarily on death row. They weren't in the hospital. It was just unexpected. Men in their 40s, men in their early 50s. Can I tell you, as I've talked to those guys, as they come to me and they said, Ryan, I didn't do anything wrong. Ryan, my dad was a good guy. He was faithful. He got me into church. He pushed me to come to Christian college. Can I tell you this? They had to learn that they couldn't put their treasure, they couldn't put family first, they couldn't put their job first, they couldn't put their riches first. They had to put God first. And they had to keep him there. Will you put God first and will you keep him first? Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening and for the opportunity to be able to open up your word.